Come on, I hope and pray you're having a great... Look at your neighbor and say, it's about to get even better. Come on, hallelujah. So, so good to be with you today. If I haven't had an opportunity to introduce myself, I'm Pastor Rick, lead pastor here at Bridge City Church. We are one church in four locations, and that means we actually every Sunday have five worship times every Sunday. You're seeing about 20% of the church because this is one of five. And so we're highly interdependent. We love each other and we're working together for a great, great purpose. How many of y'all believe that? Come on. Here we are. I get the joy of communicating God's word to you today. And we have been in the book of Colossians in the New Testament. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And we've been launching out of this verse every week. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to follow him. Let your roots go down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth, and as you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. There's truth that we're uncovering in the Word of God, and I believe it has the power to change our lives. How many of y'all believe that? I had the opportunity just recently to go to what's titled a naturalization ceremony, where somebody wasn't a citizen of the United States, and they became a citizen of the United States. And I'm going to refer to it as a ceremony. It was at the federal courthouse. And as I was there, it was very interesting the way they communicated. Now, when you're not a citizen, you come in and you file the paperwork, and you take a little test, but then you go through the formal ceremony here. And during that ceremony, what they basically said was, obviously, you're no longer a citizen of the country you came from, under that political regime or government, but now you have a new government. Now you're under a whole new set of standards here. And the Pledge of Allegiance took on a whole new meaning for me. I'm going to be honest with you. It took on a whole new meaning for me, the Pledge of Allegiance, because it was an allegiance really to a flag, to a country here, to a new citizenship. But one of the things that really got my attention was, throughout this whole ceremony, they never talked about there's rules you got to obey. They never talked about, now there's rules and you got to learn the rule book. And if you break any of the rules, you're going to be in trouble. Do you know what they kept talking about the whole time during this ceremony? Was the freedom that you now get to experience, the destiny that you can experience. And they talked about all the opportunities that you get now that you're a citizen of the United States. The same is true when we leave the kingdom of darkness and we become part of the kingdom of light, part of God's kingdom, it's not about rules and regulations. It's about opportunities. It's about destiny. It's about pledging our allegiance to a new government that we are under. See, and it's filled with opportunity. It's filled with destiny. It's filled with all these things. So just as I accepted that, now I'm going to live as a new citizen here. I'm going to allow my roots to go down deep here. And just like I'm no longer a citizen there, my roots are in the kingdom of God and in his church now. And I'm becoming solid on that truth. Come on, somebody. Come on, this is really, really super cool. And so we learn truth. We learn to communicate that truth. Okay, but now, just because they went through that ceremony, now they're free to live as citizens. They can vote, and there's different things that they can be a part of now, a part of their new citizen, just like you and I. The reason I'm bringing that up to you is because when we become followers of Jesus, just as you accepted Christ, continue to follow him. Continue to move forward in this new freedom and destiny. Look at your neighbor and say, you have a destiny in Christ. Come on, we do. You have a destiny in Christ Jesus, and it's super, super cool. So here's the big idea today. Here's the big idea. A firm foundation will produce a new life. will produce a new life. So having a firm foundation will produce a new life. And hear that joyfully, everybody say the word joyfully.
Joyfully.
Yeah, puts to death the old self. Yeah, puts on your new nature and puts Jesus first in all your relationships. This is what we get to do. This is now what we get to participate in. We no longer, see, I'm not serving God out of my personality. I'm serving God of my spirituality. And unfortunately, most people go through most of their lives as Christians, love God, go to church, the whole deal, but they only serve God out of their personality rather than their spirituality. How many of y'all know that your personality will only carry you so far? Yeah, see, I once was dead, but now I'm alive. That's what's going on here. So in the book of Colossians, and we're going to be in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, when he writes, most of the time when he writes, he spends what we're going to consider chapters, about half of his time talking about doctrine, talking about what you believe, talking about theology. And then somewhere about halfway, he switches and talks about the practicality of being belonging to God. Somewhere along the way, see, half is theological, what do you believe? And then he switches and starts saying, this is what it's going to look like. So everything that Pastor Eric has preached over the last 3 weeks, and he's done an excellent, awesome job. I've been listening to the messages here. And he's done a great job theologically has brought us to this point. And now it switches into practically, what does this mean? Practically, what does this mean in our lives here? And this is what we're going to uncover today. Okay? Now, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Is the church's earliest confession, and it remains the test of authentic Christianity. Jesus is Lord. I mean, this is a test here. Lord means absolute owner. As a matter of fact, this word Lord in the Greek, because the original was in the Greek, and if you're reading through your chapters 3 and 4, you'll see the word master in some translations. Lord, it translates the same here. It means that 12 times is it found. Jesus is Lord means he's the absolute owner of our lives. He calls the shots. He's the one. Listen, I've been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. I think that's a pretty big deal. But what does that mean practically? Well, let me try to illustrate that to you this way. I have right here a gift card. A gift card, this is worth $30. And I'm not giving it away. I see those hands. And on the back of this gift card, it talks about that this card is redeemable for merchandise only. That means I can go to Woolies down in the Strip District, which is a very heavenly place. I meet Jesus there a lot. Okay, and so I can go into Woolies with this card, and I can give this card, and I can redeem it for merchandise, for glorious merchandise. So what do I do is I'm going to leave the kingdom of Paladin, found in Monroeville, and I'm going to go down to the Strip District, and I'm going to walk into Woolies, and I'm going to decide what am I going to purchase and redeem with this card. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a big bag of big shrimp. Not those little shrimps. I'm talking about the big ones. Okay? And then I'm going to go to the counter and I'm going to redeem them. Completely paid for. I'm going to say, this is the card. I'm going to completely pay for those shrimp. Then I'm going to transfer those shrimp from the kingdom of Wooly to the kingdom of Paladin. Now, I'm the absolute owner of them. And then I'm going to decide what happens next. Now I get to decide what's going to happen with these. Now, first of all, I'm going to peel them. Okay, they need peeled. They got a hard veneer that they got to get. I got to get rid of that. I don't want to eat that. Okay, I'm going to peel them and make sure. Then I'm going to decide what to do. And I have a lot of options. I could use some garlic and butter. Come on, somebody. Put them in a pan fry them. I can put them over linguine. I can put them over angel hair. I can just eat them and just scoop that butter with those shrimp and eat them up. Come on. I can put some Cajun seasoning on them. I can pan fry them. I can grill them. I can do them on the flat top. I can do whatever. I can bread them. I can do whatever I want. But you know what I've always noticed? When I transfer those shrimp from the kingdom of Wooly to the kingdom of Paladin, and I begin to do what I want with those, never once did those shrimp jump out of the pan. Never once did they say, well, I was hoping we'd be in a stir fry. I was hoping you wouldn't, you know, do that. I don't like this seasoning. I don't like the way I'm being cooked. Never once. You know why? Because they're dead. And they have one purpose, to bring me pleasure. And so I get to decide how they're cooked, how they're prepared, all the seasoning on them, and how they're consumed. The same is true of you with God. When Jesus Christ redeems your life, you go into a new kingdom, and he decides the seasoning on your life. And then he decides what kind of fire will be applied to your life. Now, I know what you're saying. Yeah, well, you can eat the shrimp raw. Okay. But this is what happens. We jump out of the process, and we jump out of the process and jump out of the pan, and we wonder why we can't experience well done, good and faithful servant. When we come to Jesus, there's a practicality of what God wants to do in our lives once we're in his kingdom. Are you ready for the word of God here? Come on, potential. There's a new government. Let's go to Colossians now. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1, here we go. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Come on, are you ready? Okay. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So set your sights. That means seek, search for, inquire here. That means you're going to search for something with the intent on finding it. How many of you have ever lost your keys? How many of you regularly lose your keys? Yeah. Yeah, come on. How many of you ever have lost your phone? Come on. Some of you, just the thought of that, you're hyperventilating right now. You're hyperventilating. You're thinking, I don't know how I could live without this. Okay? That means you're going to search for it with the intent on finding it. I'm going to find this. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying, everything that's happened because of all of chapters 1 and 2, now set your sights on heaven. And let me break it down a real easy way. When you set your sights on heaven, that means I want to honor God with my actions. Every time you're within a decision that you know what's right to do, either honor God or honor you, when you say, I want to honor God, that's thinking about heaven. When you say, I want to do what's best for me, that's honoring you. That's temporary. My wife and I, this happens a lot. You know, I'll do something nice for her, and like, she won't notice, and I want to make sure she notices, because I want my thanks and praise now. Come on, somebody. And then every time she'll look at me and she says the same thing that's just happened this week. She said, you want your reward now, don't you? And I said, yeah. She goes, you won't get a reward in heaven if you get your reward now. I said, I want it now. Come on, somebody. I said, that's temporary and eternal. And a lot of times we're giving up the eternal because we're consumed with the temporary. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, everything in chapter 1 and 2, you've been redeemed, you've been set free, there's the victory of the cross, everything that's happened. Now, set your sights on heaven here. Search for it. Look for it. Verse 3, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Yeah, he's saying, okay, he's like, once you're in Jesus, you're dead to the old way you used to live. You have been raised to life. Many people in this room right now that can hear me, you're trying to get to the point where you can live raised to life when you're trying to do something that Jesus has already done for you. You can't earn this. He's always saying, if you belong to Jesus and you said, Jesus, forgive me of my past, lead me, be the Lord, the absolute owner of my future. He says, okay, you have been raised to life. You have been here. And it's a revelation to the world here. That's what it is. And so we want to reveal to the world God's plan in truth. Okay, now, this isn't the only way, but it's one way that we can learn how to communicate the truth of God and let Jesus be revealed in our world in the here and now. This coming Thursday evening, right here at Bridge City Church at our Murraysville campus, right in this room, we have a training that's going to take place from 6 to 9 o'clock. It's called the Contenders Conference. And I'm inviting you to come out with myself. Natalie's going to be here, Pastor Eric. He's hosting it. He's been a big driver in making this happen here. And we're going to learn how to communicate a very important truth that I believe is very important. It's about the pro-life. It's about how to communicate being pro-life. Now, I'm coming because I want trained. I want to be equipped. I believe I can get better, and I believe God's not done with me. And so I want to be a better communicator so I can help reveal the truth about God and reveal the truth to others, to help people, to demonstrate love and mercy and kindness. That's what this is about. This isn't about confrontation. It's about kindness. It's about compassion. It's about learning how to not only defend the truth, but share the truth in a positive way. So we are inviting you to come out at 6 o'clock with an open heart so that we can learn truth and be grounded in truth and help reveal truth in a practical way to others. Now, how many of y'all that helps? Come on. See, I want you to understand what this is. And so I'm inviting you to come out. I want you to participate. Come out with us. And I'm looking forward to this opportunity. I've heard this man speak, and I've heard him communicate before. And it's just so practical and so clear. And I believe that we can get better and help reveal Jesus to this world. How many are with me now? Okay? So my life is now hidden in Christ. He calls the shots, not me. Now let's move on to verse 5 about put to death the old self. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Now, I just want to make it clear. This word lurking within you is not found in the original Greek. Okay, it's in the translation that I'm reading to you. But I really enjoy the way this is reading because it really is saying, how many of y'all know that there's sinful stuff lurking? And we like to say it's all out in the world. How many of y'all know there's stuff inside of you lurking around? How many of you know that? It's just lurking around in there. Lurking is like it's waiting to pounce on some. Right? Come on, that's what it's doing. And where is it? It's not out in the world. It's inside of, well, not you, me, of course, not you, yeah. No, really, come on. Yeah, it's in there and it's lurking around. Have nothing to do, and this is practical now, have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Yeah, don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world because these sins, the anger of God is coming. Now, it's one thing to like list, like how many of them, like, oh yeah, all man sins, we all have sins. But when you start seeing a list and you go, whoop, got that one, whoop, got that one, how many of y'all know it takes on a new meaning? Right? See, it's one thing to say sin, it's another thing to say that's the one. And the Apostle Paul is saying here, remember, he's speaking to the church, And he's saying, hey, church at Colossae here, hey, put to death the old self, sexual immorality and lust and impurity and all these things. And he says, put to death. That means corpse-like, lifeless, regard as dead, inoperative. Like, consider these things gone. Now this is what happens. How many of you have ever received flowers? Ever in your life received flowers? Okay. How many of y'all know that when you receive those flowers, if they're not in a pot, like once they cut them, they're already dead? But what do? When you get those, you cut the bottom, you put them in water, and then you take that little packet. You have no idea what's in that packet. Right? But you know they're attached to it, so it got to be good. Right? And you put it in there, and you're trying to keep these alive for as long as possible. This is what we do with our old life. We try to preserve our old life when really it's like no, they're dead. Stop trying to keep your old life and your old stuff alive. It's like the old Western. Have you ever seen an old Western? Well, I guess you got to be old to see an old Western. Okay, that's why nobody raised their hand, okay? And did you ever see it? Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that hand. Yeah, now, come on, yeah. And did you ever see it like where a guy gets like shot several times? Like, oh, and he's like going down. Or even in some shows now, like they're shot out like hundreds of times and they're getting beat up and they're getting pulverized, but there's always like one last breath. I mean, don't you like at some point in the movie just like, just die already. Come on, like just get over it. Like, come on, quit trying to do it. But this is what we do in our lives spiritually. We're trying to keep alive our old desires, just enough of them to make us happy, rather than saying, just honor God and get over it. Just honor God and be done. So yeah, I'm just reading what the Apostle Paul wrote. Yeah, sexual immorality, fornication, adultery. Yeah, impurity and lust and evil desires and greed is like all these things. Yeah, consider yourself death. Make them corpse-like. Like, get over it here. Move on. This is quite a list of things here. But Jesus, Matilda, he goes on. It's like, okay, the Apostle Paul, like, you got to keep going on here. And so look at the next list he got. If he didn't get you in one of those, pay attention. Yeah, verse 7, you used to do these things when your life was still a part of the world. This is how you used to live, okay? But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have been stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. When he says get rid of, it means literally take off a garment. It means take off your old identity, because in the moment Paul was writing this, your outer garment reflected your identity. It reflected who you were. And he says, listen, take off all that old stuff. Take it off. Get rid of it. And this is what most of us do, Christians. We take our old stuff. In like it's missing buttons, it has a big tear, it's no good, but we're going to give it to Goodwill because somebody could use this. Come on. Yeah, somebody could use this. We do this all the time. But in reality, throw it out. Get rid of it. I mean, literally, when we were running the clothing room down at our North Braddock campus, I would say that 50 to 75% of the things that came in, we could not put out. Because they were like, I mean, just even the way they smelled, let alone the way they looked. And somebody said, somebody go use this. No, nobody wants to use your old stuff. I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. Like, get rid of it. Throw it out. Take off your old identity and get rid of it. Take it off, throw it out here. Who are you going to identify with? It's like getting rid of this. And it's like all these things that's talking about sexual immorality and greed. And then he talks about all your speech. How many of y'all know that we get, most of our trouble as Christians are the way we think and the way we speak. All right? And even the Apostle Paul says, man, if you can control your tongue, man, you're well on your way to spiritual things. If you can control the way you talk, you're well on your way. If you control the way you think about sexual immorality and all these things, and there are times, listen, it's hilarious. People tell me all the time, well, the Bible's outdated. I get in conversations with people. The Bible's outdated. It's not good. It doesn't speak to today. It's irrelevant. Now, track me here. Sexual immorality on all it brings, in Christians getting along with one another, not practicing anger and rage and maliciousness and slander, tell me the Bible doesn't speak to us in 2025. No, I'm serious. This book is just as relevant today as it was when it was written over 2,000 years ago. It has relevancy. It is very relevant to our here and now, in that I got to take off the old and get rid of here. That's what I got to do, and I need to do here. So, verse 10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, love that one, uncivilized, slave, or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. What He's saying, it doesn't matter how you used to live, it matters now we're all together. Do you know the chances of us all right now in this room being in the same room if it wasn't for Jesus Christ is very slim? I'm serious. But Jesus Christ, who saved us all, it's like, yeah, you're a brother, you're a sister in Christ, or maybe you're not yet, but you're going to be if you hang out here. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to meet Him here. It's going to be so cool. And you're going to become like Him. And then it's going to be infectious in a good way over your life. But we got to get rid of the old and put on the new here. That's what we're doing here. We got to get rid of the social status or roles and all these things here. It's the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we all have some stuff in our lives that just feels comfortable, but we need to get rid of. Okay? Now, I asked Natalie this week, I said, do I have any clothes that I'm wearing regularly that you wish I would get rid of? And she said, yeah, and I was really shocked. She said, I'm not shocked that she had an answer, but that she only had one answer. That's what really blew me away, but that's a different story. And she goes, yeah. Like, right, she didn't have to think about it. And she said, it's that shirt you wear to play tennis. And I said, well, I have a lot of shirts I play tennis in. And it's this red one. I think this is a really cool shirt. I mean, you can't see through it pretty much, but it's an old shirt. It used to be bright red. It used to be very vibrant red, and now it's stained and it's old. And I'll be honest, when I first started wearing it, I was 5 pounds lighter, maybe 8, probably 10. And they say Christians don't lie. You'll catch up with that one later. Okay. And she said right away, she goes, and I said, well, and so I pulled it out and I said, why don't you like that? I said, this is so comfortable. And I like this shirt. And she said, it's just old, and it's not the way it used to be. It doesn't fit right, and it's like nasty stains. She goes, your opponent is going to look at you. And she didn't use the word laugh, but she said, they're not going to take you seriously. She said something like that. How's your opponent going to take you serious when you're wearing that? This is what she told me. And I said, but I like it. And I said, you know what? It just feels comfortable. This is what most of us do in our Christian lives. We have something that's old, that just feels comfortable, that we've gotten used to. That those closest to us wishes we would get rid of. But we want to pull it out whenever we want to. Are you going to get rid of it? I guess it. I'm going to receive an offering today for a new shirt. Come on, somebody. That's why you need friends in your life. Come on. Come on. Am I right? Come on. That's right. You need friends in your life to, like, say, stop it. You need somebody in your life to say, give it up. Stop doing that. Stop wearing that. But we all, like, anger, rage, malicious talk, behavior, slander, gossip, sexual immorality, lust, fornication, adultery, impure thoughts. We get used to those and we want to pull them out whenever we want them. So we hold on to them so we can pull them out rather than take them off and get rid of it. Completely and absolutely and fully. By the way, Natalie, thanks you. Come on. See, then we have to put on something else. So we got to put on a new nature. We got to get something new to put on. And this is what, everything the Apostle Paul communicates up to this point is saying now practically we get to do this now. And many people in here are saying, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way my family is. That's just the way I think. That's just the way we are. And I want to tell you, that's the way you used to be. Because there's people in your circle that they're wishing you would become new. And not just go to church. Are you with me? See, that's what we're talking about here. That's what we're communicating here. This is the key. So put on your new nature. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves in verse 12, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And make allowances for each other's faults. That doesn't say you make excuses for them. You cover them to the point you can take their old stuff off of them. Grab that one. Yeah, we help one another get free. Make allowance. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you can forgive others. Above all, verse 14, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, called to live in peace and be thankful. Are you with me here? See, this is what we get to put on. This is what we get to put on. Some of you have said, well, I just can't do that. I'm not patient. Yes, you are. It's in there. It's just got to come out. I just don't know how to be loving. Yes, you do. It's in there. It's just got to come out. I don't know how to have peace. Yes, you do. It's in there. It's going to come out. As we take off the old, we put on the new, just like a new garment here, just like a new way to live, a new nature here. And then verse 16, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom. I gave you one opportunity this coming Thursday. I'm going to see you here as many as possible at 6 p.m. because we're going to grow and we're going to learn how we can do this. Teach and counsel each other. But we have another really big deal coming up in Jesus' church. Now, I want you, on most of your seats here, there was a little deal here. It says, invite your peeps here. Come on, I want you to get, you're probably sitting on it. Like you're probably sitting, come on, I want you to get one of these in your hand. Everybody get one of these in your hand. You got to get one in your hand. Come on, I want you to hold one. If you run across the aisle, don't take it off of somebody, but like just, you know, there's some more. Come on, everybody get one. I want everybody to get one. Everybody gets one. Everybody. Okay, first of all, there's one of those little sugar-ridden peeps in here. If you want to go ahead and eat it, you can, okay? But you can't get up and leave. You can't go pretend like you're getting a drink, okay? In 28 days, 4 weeks to invite your peeps. And there's invitations in here. And I want you to take these invitations. I'm serious. I want you to take this with you. And there's more invitations. We have plenty. It's about sharing the message of Jesus, the victory of the cross. There's people in your sphere that need the hope of Jesus Christ. Will you invite them? Will you find a neighbor, friend, somebody at work? Oh, I don't know. They just might not come. I don't know. Why don't you invite them and see? Let's never say no for somebody. We have 4 weeks. 4 weeks to invite as many people as we can. Because we're believing that we're going to be overrun with people. Because the world is waiting for what we have. And so these invites, would you take them? Please, let's not allow any of these on the seats. And if you want more, take two of these. Grab a hold of them. Come on, please. Let's find as many people and just invite them. It's not our job to bring them. It's our job to invite them. And let's watch what God will do on a really big day that most people know they should at least go to church. They might not know why, but they know they're supposed to. How many of you will help us and help Pastor Eric and Rachel and help Natalie and I and invite some friends? How many of y'all do that? How many of y'all do that? Come on. Come on, just invite them. Take as many. 28 days. That's all we got. Let the countdown begin. Let's watch what God will do. But as we do, let's remove the old and put on the new. Compassion and kindness. Loving each other as Christ loved us. Humility and gentleness. Don't think too highly of yourselves. Patience and forgiveness. Bearing with one another and letting go. Love and peace. And we're going to clothe ourselves with these things. So we take off the old and put on the new. And the last point I want to share with you today is about putting Jesus first in all relationships. Verse 18. Now, ladies, don't shout me down now. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Isn't it interesting? It says fitting. It fits right. Now, as soon as you mention ladies or wives submit, man, I'm telling you, it brings an array of things in here. But look at this next one. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, obey your parents, for it pleases God. Fathers, don't aggravate your children, for they'll become discouraged. And then it goes on to say in verses 22 through 25, basically, the way you work for your boss, don't do it for your boss. Do it as unto God. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, it's not only spiritual, taking off anger and maliciousness and sexual immorality and greed and all those other things, the way we speak, getting new. But it's even more than that. It's now, he's saying, isn't it interesting, practically, the Apostle Paul says, women, submit to your husbands, for it's fitting unto God. What submission is, it means you both have the same mission. Submission. One mission. That means we have one mission. We're going to do this together. And I'm not going to back off from that. But men, it says, this is guys, like, die to yourself. Love your wives. Don't treat them harshly. That means be inconvenienced. People ask me all the time, how do you know if you're growing in marriage? I'm going to tell you how you know if you're growing in marriage. You're irritated and inconvenienced, but you're becoming more like Jesus, and you're doing it joyfully. Joyfully. I'm learning to not live selfishly. I'm learning to give up my life. Is that good? Same thing with Jesus. His word sometimes irritates me and it inconveniences me, but I'm going to become more like him joyfully. It's all joy. It means he's not done with me. It means I can still follow him and learn him and love him. And even if I mess up, he's still there to pick me up. Isn't this cool? I can do it joyfully. And unfortunately, in our culture, especially here at Bridge City Church, we have like two sets of messages. We have the Mother's Day message, encouraging, warm and friendly, fuzzy, encouraging. And then we have the Father's Day message. Suck it up. Get with the program. I was at the men's meeting the other night. No, I wasn't at the women's meeting, just for the record. But we have two sets of messages when both should be, we're going to live under one mission with God, and I'm going to put God first. The practicality of the gospel affects our lives Monday through Saturday. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. It's not just about Sunday and about raising your hands. It's about your whole life and your whole week. As you go to work this week, do it as unto Jesus, not for your boss. I'm going to do it with a heart that serves, and I'm going to do it with joy, and I'm going to like being there. Even if I don't like it, I'm going to like it. And then where's young people? Is anybody young here today? Very good. Good deal. Some, that's by faith I see some of you say, yeah. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. Actually, it comes with a promise. You'll live a long life. And every true parent has quoted that at least once in their life. Okay? For those of you that, as your kids grow, you'll know what I'm saying. Yeah. But that's what he's talking about. Parents, don't provoke your children. Oh, I've done that more than once in my life. I have, and I've had to repent because I wasn't living out the practicality of the gospel. I've had to learn how not to do that. What I'm trying to say to you is we're not perfect in here, but we're progressively impressed. The process of God is not done yet. As I take off the old and put on the new, and I put God first in my relationships. Could you stand to your feet with me today? How many of y'all are glad you came to church today? Come on. I'm so glad. Wow. So I'm going to put to death my old self. I'm going to put on the new nature. And then I'm going to put Christ first in my relationships. I'm going to make a commitment. That's why I like our connection group. Our connection group is so, so good. It helps me live for Jesus practically through the week. Helps me take real assessments in real life. Hope you're in one. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this great group of people. And I pray, Father, right now, Lord God, as we enter the most important couple minutes of our time together here, God, that you would help us, Lord. Help us hear you, help us know you, but help us live for you practically in our everyday lives, Lord. If you're here today and you don't have a time or a moment when you know that you were raised to life, then you were raised to new life in Christ. If you don't have a moment or time, there's a good chance it didn't happen, where you used to be this way, but now you are. You belong to God. He's the absolute owner of your life. I want to offer you a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to offer you a relationship with God as your Father, a new citizenship, a new potential, a new release where God releases who you really are and who you really are to Him. You got to come to realize that you used to have some sins. You used to have some ways that you used to think and live. But you ask God to forgive you. And then you say, God, I want to live for you. I want to put on a new nature. I want to put on my new self. If that's you today, and you would like a relationship with God the Father, Jesus Christ as the absolute owner of your life, what a joy. If you've never done this before, I want to offer you today as your day. And I want you joyfully and all like, yes, I want that. And if that's you today and you want to Jesus Christ, be the forgiver of my past, leader of my future, I want to surrender to God right here and now. Jesus is Lord. I just want you joyfully, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me right here. Anybody in the house today that says, man, that's me today. That's me. I got to have that today. Anybody at all in the house today, just want to offer you that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person here today, God. And I thank you that next week and the next week after and then even Easter, Lord God, there's going to be so many hands up that you overwhelm us with how great you are in the grace of God. So God, thank you for doing a work today and help us live practically for you. Lord God, help us do it for you, your good, your glory, and your honor. In Jesus' name.